Our scripture reading comes from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25. We're going to read verses 31 through 46. Hear now the reading of God's Word. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the King will say to those on His right hand, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the King will answer and say to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me." Then He will also say to those on the left hand, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they also will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you?" Then He will answer them, saying, "Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Now, unlike the work of the elders, there is no description for the work of deacons anywhere in the New Testament. When we turn to Acts chapter 6 and describe the work of deacons as that of mercy toward widows, the men who were elected there are not called deacons, but we understand from the context of the passage that probably reading them as deacons is an accurate reading. So what else do deacons do? If you look through the rest of the New Testament, the places where you have a description of deacons, there is no description of their work. And one suggestion is to look at this passage in Matthew 25, to look at the criteria of Christ on the day of judgment. Here we have laid out for us the practical ministry of all Christians. And since deacons are said by our book of church government that deacons are, quote, responsible for the ministry of mercy and stewardship of the congregation, deacons then have a particular responsibility to make sure that the congregation has opportunities to fulfill this word of Christ, to serve the needy, and the deacons should take the lead. Now, we have deacons throughout the RPCNA who are very good at taking care of congregational matters. We also have the Women's Association that has established the home for elderly people and daycare services. And the Women's Association has been doing diaconal work for decades now. Now, we have deacons who are good bookkeepers and good stewards, but the criteria on the day of judgment is the exercise of love to the needy. That's the criterion that we see here laid out by Jesus. And so our stewardship in the church has a purpose. Our stewardship has the purpose to be able to extend love to the needy. If you look at verses 35 and 36 here, you can see that Christians are called to deal with hunger, with thirst, with hospitality, with clothing, with visiting the sick, and with Christian prisoners. Now, of course, that doesn't mean that deacons have to do all of this by themselves. Hardly. These are responsibilities that we all share together as Christians in the church. But deacons do need to find opportunities and to organize the congregation to get these kinds of needs met. And they also need to serve themselves and show leadership in these areas. Because deacons are, again, responsible for the ministry of mercy and stewardship of the congregation. Now, it's possible to read this text and think that somehow these works are meritorious, but they're not. Diaconal works are not meritorious works. Diaconal works are a testimony to our faith. That's true for every Christian, and it is especially true for deacons. As we read in 1 Timothy 3:13, "For those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus." So deacons who serve well get a good standing and their faith is encouraged by the work that they do. And you notice that when Jesus speaks this word about the last day, you notice that all the works are identified as being done to the King. "I was hungry, thirsty, a stranger, naked, sick in prison." These are works of faith done to those who are needy and done to Christ. As Paul writes to the Colossians in chapter 3, verse 23, "Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men." So the evidence of faith in Christ is shown by works. It's shown by ministry to the needy who are His. And the evidence of a lack of interest in Christ is shown by an absence of ministry to the needy who are His. As we see here in verses 42 and 43, they never saw him. They said, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you?" They never saw him. They didn't see Christ in the needs of the needy people in his church and in the community. So we're soberly warned by the King about the dreadfulness of this judgment. And just as we cannot grasp with our small minds the glory of God's electing love, we cannot grasp the glory of his eternal judgment, but we will see it on that day. But what our small minds can surely grasp are the words spoken by the Father speaking from heavenly glory when he said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." So diaconal preparations for pleasing Christ. Deacons should keep that word of Christ close to their ears and meditate on it in their heart. "You did it to me." "Whatever you do in the works of mercy, my brethren, you did it to me." And with this statement, Christ clearly places the church in the position of a broad and willing service to the needy. The blessed of the Father are those with faith in Jesus Christ and who serve the Lord as he commands. And notice how broad is the Lord's command. Back in Luke chapter 6, in verse 35, he says, "But love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the unthankful and evil." When Paul teaches in Romans, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. When we think of this verse, in from the point of view of the actors in a situation rather than the recipients, then we realize that our acts of love will bring about tremendous good, because God will direct our acts of love in such a way that those who are the called according to his purpose will see all these things coming together for their good. So works of love are practical, and each one of us is capable to love. We all have much to share: food, drink, comfort. We all have 24 hours every day, no more but no less. And Jesus would like to see the deacons in his congregations visit the sick, bring encouragement to them. He would also like to see the deacons in his congregation scout out opportunities for us to give of our means to help the needy, first in the church, then in the community. The Lord wants the deacons to be sure that hospitality is offered to visitors and perhaps even to needy students in our context. My 9 years in Cambridge have taught me that non-Christians do far more for the needy in this community than churches do. And that includes our own church. We're not very well implicated in this community, and I think we should be much more implicated in this community. The Christian life is a life of service. It is active and generous because Christ is active and generous. And on the last day, Christ will take account of our service. So we learned this lesson in the parable of the faithful and unfaithful servants. It's not enough to abstain from evil, but we must do good. It's not enough to protest at abortion clinics. We must rally to help pregnant girls. We must adopt unwanted babies. We must provide medical help and money for that medical help. And if the church is not doing this while parachurch groups are, then we need to support the parachurch groups. So it'll be good to see our new deacons take charge and work together with the deacon board to lead us and to help us all serve the poor and the needy, all of whom are made in the image of God, as we reviewed this morning in the adult Sunday school class. So let's not cut our mercy aid in order to balance a budget. There are many things that we can cut, but mercy is one of the fundamental things that Jesus has called the church to. So let us together roll up our sleeves, organize, and help the needy in the community and in the church. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this word. We thank you that you call us to deny ourselves and to give of ourselves freely. And we thank you, Lord, that you do encourage us in this direction, and that we pray that you will bless the new deacon board with wisdom and care, with opportunities to lead the congregation and to be a blessing to you. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Elder Chris Wright will now direct a charge to the newly installed deacons.
I want to read a few verses from the passage immediately preceding the passage that Pastor Jemian preached on, from Matthew 25, and then a single verse from 1 Timothy 3. Matthew 25, I'm going to read part of the parable of the talents and then comment on it. Matthew 25 at verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you rule over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. We'll end the reading there. And then a single verse from 1 Timothy 3. Pastor Jimmy has already mentioned it. The last verse of Paul's description of the qualifications of deacons, 1 Timothy 3:13. Paul ends his description of the qualifications with this statement: For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Scott and David, beloved brothers and now deacons of this congregation, you have been called by God to give yourselves to work that many in our society would not value very much. Taking care of physical needs of people who don't have enough money, visiting the sick, visiting prisoners, looking after the budget of a small church, making the resources stretch, overseeing the maintenance and repair of a 113-year-old church building and a parsonage. And yet, as Pastor Jemian said in his sermon, precious work in God's eyes. Inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. I'd like to pull out 3 points from the parable of the talents and 1 point from Paul's instructions to Timothy. Stewardship first. In verse 14 of the parable of the talents, it says that the man called his servants and delivered his goods to them. The 3 servants were stewards. They were to look after their master's goods, care for them, make them grow, prosper. That's what stewardship is, caring for something on behalf of someone else in the best possible way. The entire work that you've been given as deacons is a stewardship, caring for something for God in the best possible way because it belongs to Him and you're His servants. Ministering mercy, you're Jesus' hands and feet to those in need, to the least of these, my brethren. He has delivered that ministry to you as deacons, not only to you, but to you. Overseeing the finances of the church, it's often said, it's the Lord's money, we're stewards of it, we know that. And even the care and maintenance of church buildings, these are stewardships that deacons have for buildings that are very much important work, part of the work of the church. So the parable teaches that stewardship. Secondly, the parable teaches accountability. Verse 19 of the passage says, After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. Accountability is the second half of stewardship. We saw that, of course, in the passage that Pastor Jemian just preached on. All nations gathered before Jesus on the last great day, and every human being on earth, every one of us, called to give account. It's a very sobering passage. But for church officers, for deacons, and even more for elders, it's all the more sobering because of the responsibilities that church office brings. Your work as deacons is a ministry entrusted to you by Jesus Christ. Someday, you'll have to tell Him all about it, face to face. Something to think about. Think about it and give thanks for grace. The only way you can handle accountability. Third, from this passage, and this is the longest point I have, but keeping on faithfully. It says in the passage that the master returned after a long time. So his servants experienced a lengthy period of stewardship. You've been elected and ordained and installed as deacons of this congregation with no term of office. If you were elected to a political office in this state, it would have a designated period of time, 2 years, 2 years, 4 years. Something to think about. Stewards continue as stewards until their master releases them. Now, I hasten to add that that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to spend the rest of your life as deacons of this congregation. God could uproot you, move you somewhere else, or he could make you elders, or he could send circumstances of some kind into your life that render it impossible for you to continue in office. It doesn't necessarily mean that you'll be deacons the rest of your life. But until God releases you, you will have an ongoing call from him to serve as deacons here, as his stewards. The virtue of keeping on is not sufficiently appreciated in our society. You only have to look at the divorce rate to know that. The work of building, sustaining, extending God's kingdom through a local congregation is a long-term work. And God's servants whom he calls into his work need to take a long-term view of the work he has given them. And that's actually a very sustaining thing, because there are many ups and downs. Notice how the master in the parable commended the servants after they looked after his goods for a long time. He said, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things." He commended them for one thing. Not for being cool guys. Not even for their shrewdness in making him a lot of money, which they did. The first two servants did that. He commended them for their faithfulness. For being faithful over the long period of their stewardship. We don't know how long. So, third point, even when the going is tough, keep on. Remain faithful to your calling. But a final point, and I'd invite you to actually to look at 1 Timothy 3 if you have a Bible close at hand. If you don't, it's okay. I recognize this has been a rather solemn charge, and I apologize for perhaps undue solemnity. But I'd like to point out that this final point is that there's tremendous blessing in diaconal service. 1 Timothy 3:13. For those who have served as deacons, obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. The work of the deacons will at times be frustrating. But to paraphrase Hudson Taylor, God's work done in God's way receives God's blessing. God looks upon the faithful work of deacons with great favor. It's very interesting how Paul has said this. He's given a list of qualifications. And then it's as if at the end of the list, he steps back and looks down the years. Notice that the verse is in the past tense. For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves good standing. He doesn't say those who serve will obtain good standing. He lists the criterion, the qualifications, then he steps back and says those who have served. He's encouraging those whom he's writing to think down the years and see that in the long term they will receive the good and faithful servant blessing. Scott and David, I thank God for you two men whom he has called into this office. My fellow elders, thank God for you. The members of the congregation, thank God for you. I'm sure your fellow deacon, Kevin, especially thanks God for you. May God bless you two men abundantly and encourage your hearts as you take up this good work.
Now, Elder Tom Fisher will give a charge to the congregation.
Part of my charge to us as a congregation, I'd like to read two passages from Paul's letters. The passages are long. The charge, my part, is not so long. Beginning with Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 7. But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this he ascended, what does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knitted together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. And then second, from Paul's letter to the Galatian church, chapter 6. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Do you like receiving gifts? If you're like me, you do. Christ has given us two gifts tonight. We prayed for him to give us more deacons, and he's answered our prayers. What do you hope for now that you have received these gifts? Are you hoping that physical needs will be met for people inside and outside the church, and that the church's property will be wisely cared for? These are indeed things that our deacons do. But as you consider what it will mean to have more deacons, I'd like to encourage you to think about the one who has given us these new gifts. What does Jesus Christ want us to gain from having more deacons? In Ephesians 4 and 5, when Paul writes to the church about Christ's gifts, he doesn't give an exhaustive list of his gifts. In fact, he doesn't mention deacons at all. In this particular passage, he seems to be focusing on gifts that have to do with teaching and doctrine. But almost immediately after writing about building up the church in the truth, he turns to the outworking of the truth. Paul's teaching here and elsewhere can be summarized this way, I believe. As we are built up in the truth, then we put aside the deeds of the flesh, and we walk more and more as Christ walked. In Christ's household, doctrine in our hearts turns into deeds, and deeds reflect doctrine. Christ's will for us is that we zealously believe his word and that we be zealous in doing good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Christ declared to his disciples that he came not to be served, but to serve. Christ calls his people to follow him by serving according to the circumstances and resources that he gives to each of us. So what does this have to do with deacons? Well, it has everything to do with deacons. The office of deacon is an office of doing, of serving, and of doing good. Deacons serve Christ both by serving his people and by stirring up his people to serve. Christ has given us deacons to help us move from being hearers of the word to being doers of the word. So tonight, by Christ's appointment, the number of deacons who will help stir us up to love and good deeds has increased by 200%. So I ask you again, what does Jesus Christ want us to gain from having more deacons? I believe that Jesus Christ wants us to grow in serving, not only in serving our households and the household of faith, but also in serving our relatives, our neighbors, our friends, our coworkers, our classmates, and the other people that he is bringing into the paths of our lives, both individually and corporately. My ability to tell you Christ's will for you is bounded by his word. But within that boundary, this much I can tell you. It is Christ's will for us to grow into his likeness. So I exhort you, and I exhort myself, to make good use of the Lord's gifts to help you grow in Christ. Pray that Christ will use our deacons even more than he already has to stir us up more and more to love and good deeds. And then give feet to your prayers by responding to that stirring up with deeds that honor Christ as he gives you opportunity. May Christ be exalted in our lives as his people as we make good use of his gifts.